Welcome to this month's episode of AnimeCons TV. We're your source for reports and discussions on anime and other fan conventions. I'm Elizabeth O'Malley, and every month we spend an episode responding to your comments and answering your questions. So we have a lot this month, which is awesome. Thank you, everybody. So let's start off with email. Here we go. So we got an email from our friend Melissa. Hey, AnimeCons crew. Hey, Melissa. Patrick, I was both happy and cringing when I saw the link for the Wizard World review pop up in my social media news feed. Happy because I could watch a review from someone with convention experience attend the show, and cringing because you were at that terrible excuse for a convention. Bitter, right? And because of all the terrible things I've heard and read and heard about the Wizard World shows. You are a brave soul to go. I never have, and I sure as hell won't. I've always referred to Wizard World shows as the fast food chain of conventions. I bet Patrick was going to steal that now. Every con is the same convention with the same guests, and they're always trying to push local shows out of the picture. And for a comic convention, they sure do have a lack of comic creators advertised. Every time the show comes to Sacramento, I'm asked, "Are you going to Comic-Con?" I cringe every time. Unfortunately, the show isn't suitable for fans or exhibitors. If you're a creator hoping to exhibit at the show, I advise you to do a different show. There are better conventions to exhibit at. It's not just the attendee tickets that are overpriced, but exhibition spaces are pricey too. So it's a little harder to break even for creatives at these types of shows. With what attendees are paying to get into the show for hotel, food, gas, autographs, etc., there isn't a whole lot of money left for them to buy from the Artist Alley. Whenever my Artist Alley friends ask if I'm going to exhibit at or attend the Wizard World shows, I tell them no, and here's why. Recently, I saw a good friend who exhibited at the past show, and they told me it wasn't worth it. So if you're looking to sell at the show, save your money and sanity and go to a local fan-run convention. You'll have a much better time and probably sell better there versus at a Wizard World show. It's nice to hear that cons are starting to fade because the convention community doesn't need a cookie-cutter show trying to make huge profits with big flashy guests they tote from convention to convention. We need quality shows meant for fans that cultivate and nurture fandoms of all dimensions. Thank you for all you guys do. I really enjoyed the podcast and articles and can't wait for the next one. I'll have to try and photobomb a podcast next time I see you roaming a convention that I'm at. Regards, Melissa. Okay, quick funny story about photobombing. So Patrick D works at Twit TV, and they have a show called Ham Nation about ham radio, which my husband does. So he's watching it one day, and he goes to me, he's like, "I think Patrick D just photobombed the back and behind Twit TV on Ham Nation," and then he's watching, and then he does it again. So I texted him, I'm like, stop photobombing Ham Nation. Anyway, thank you, Melissa, for your email. I personally have never been to a Wizard World show, and, I never will, it's just, from what I've heard, especially from Patrick and from other attendees, is it's not worth the price. I think it'll be tough if they ever come across certain guests that I really, really, really want to see. But they've never really had a strong footing in the New England area, so I've never really had a chance to go. I had a few friends who went down to, I think it was Philadelphia, because they had a bunch of Marvel Cinematic Universe guests there, and they had nothing nice to say about the con itself. It is kind of the, I think you put it perfectly, the fast food of conventions, that it's, if you're doing something more local, it's like the whole buy local thing, and they do, you know, it's by the fans, for the fans, you get a better quality show, especially when it comes to things like Artist Alley, because they understand what that is. And that makes, I think, for just a better, more well-rounded show, that because the people behind it know what the attendees really want and expect, then that's what they're going to get. So thank you for your email, Melissa. So we got an email from Jake. Greetings. I have started to notice that a lot more anime conventions, even mid-sized, are starting to offer premium badges for sale. The premium badges I have seen have been varied place to place on what their price structure is and what it is defined as. I have seen some conventions that offer them, but they are basically a normal badge that is lightly customized or bundles a con shirt or swag into the price. While I have seen others that are essentially VIP passes that almost guarantee your access to any event with premium seating, as well as early access at Dealer's Hall, among other perks, but are usually very expensive. I have seen this work relatively well at larger conventions and multi-general conventions, but I do not know how to feel about mid-sized anime conventions. Do you think this is appropriate or more of a sign of other problems, like a venue problem? Like, a venue problems or structure issues? Are premier badges as a whole worth it? Thank you for your time, Jake. I think they are. I think if you have the extra money and you want to spend it, and things like getting into the dealer's room or getting front row guaranteed seating at big events like masquerades or guest events is important to you, then, you know, definitely go ahead and do it. And I think what else it makes it really helpful for cons is it does give them more more money before the convention, because it's not till like partway through a convention that they hopefully reach a break-even point with at-con badge sales. So this way it gives them, if someone's paying essentially, I think a lot of times double or 50% more for a VIP pass, that's that much more revenue in the stream going into a convention, which I think maybe takes the pressure off a little bit. I think if it's just like a t-shirt or swag, those can be sold separately, and I think it's just more of, okay, we're getting the $20 for the shirt up front instead of the $20 at the con. I don't think it's a sign of venue problems or structure issues. I think it's just that they want to have something that fans can purchase into, if that makes sense. Again, I think they are worth it, and I like seeing that conventions are doing it. Some of them are like very extreme, like, I'm going to Boston Comic Con in a couple weeks, and the VIP tickets, like, are really expensive. The regular ones are an okay price. I think they were $160, which is about, I forget how much more than the regular price. But they have special VIP packages for different guests, like William Shatner and Frank Miller. And if you're, like, a huge fan of either of those people, then, you know, that's a really great opportunity for them, for those people to spend the money to get what they really want, whereas, you know, I'm not a big fan of either of them, but I like that they're going to be at the show, and maybe I'll go into one of their panels, but if I don't get into one, I'm not going to, you know, be upset. So I think those types of VIP experiences are really good, too. So, like, say a really big name, like you're getting a really big name Japanese guest at an anime convention, and it might be a good thing for them to look into do VIP packages so that they have X number of seats at their main panel, or if it's a musical guest, they have X number of seats in the front that you pay extra for. And it is tough on fans who can't afford those, but I think it's a good thing to have at conventions. So that's my thoughts on the VIP badges. Okay, here's an email from Queen Serenity. Hi there, I'm sending this message because I'm trying to bring groups together to have a big Just Because I Love Anime cosplay party Labor Day weekend. I was wondering if you guys would be interested in part of the planning. If so, I would love to hear back from you. You can contact me by email or by phone, which she provided. So she's from the South Carolina area. We really appreciate your email. We actually all go to Dragon Con Labor Day weekend, so we unfortunately won't be able to be part of the planning. But I believe there are companies out there that help with party planning, like generic party planning. If you search your area, they will come up. I think that would be definitely the best resource for you. I hope if it goes forward, you have an awesome time, and send us some pictures of the event too. That would be awesome. Okay, we got an email from our friend James the Dark Kiba. I can't talk today. Dear AnimeCons TV, first off, please give a special thanks to Patrick for his con reports on Wizard World and PortCon Maine. I was planning on going to the Wizard World in New Orleans, but after seeing how badly that con is, I've canceled it. On the other hand, I love seeing how much PortCon Maine has improved and how relaxed it was, just like Anime Fan Fest, and thanks to Doug and Charles for their con report on it too. Now I have one con that I'm not going to and one con that I'm definitely going to, so thank you all for informing us of these cons. Oh, and I really like the videos that Sketched did on Warbler Wrapping, Elizabeth's Revisit to Makeup, and Doug's on keeping cool at cons. I especially like Doug's rule of you drink, I drink. It's helpful. I also like Sketch and Shiva's feedback episode back in May. It was funny and late. Oh, thank you for Thank you all for your videos, as I enjoy them, especially the con reports. Oh, have I mentioned that already? Till next time, this is your friend and otaku ally and anime fan, James Darkiba. P.S. What is the official beginning and ending of con season, and what are the cons that mark these occasions? Thanks, and later. So to answer your last question, I think the idea of a con season is dead, and there are just cons all the time. Like, all the time. I mean, it used to be that there was much fewer cons. I think if you're looking at, for me personally, my con season begins with, Marija in January, which is in Boston, and then it kind of ends, it would always end with, like, Super Mega Fest, which is a small convention in, Framingham, used to be in November, now it's in October. So that was my con season, which is 11 months. So December, there weren't many cons in December up here because it's cold. And so that was my con season. If I had to guess, like, for a big anime conventions, it would probably be, like, Anime Boston Otakon kind of makes sense to me. I can't think of anything bigger in the fall. Maybe Anime USA. So if you went, like, or then you could even stretch the KatsuCon to Anime USA, which kind of runs it out really nicely because KatsuCon and Anime USA are in the same area. So I think, like, maybe if I had to say, I'd say, like, March to October. There's kind of a lot in between that. So I don't know if there's an official beginning and ending of con season. It will depend a lot where you live and what's near you and what cons you like to go to. So my con season is January to November. A lot, that's kind of sad. So thank you very much for your feedback, James, and I'm glad that you liked all those episodes. Oh my god, we have a lot of emails. Patrick wasn't kidding. Oh, voicemail. Okay, so we have voicemails from Movie Phone Guy. Woohoo. How do we play this?
AnimeCon TV, it's Movie Phone, and I'm so excited to talk.
It cut off there. I think there's another one where he's not cut off. Email. Let's try this one. Here we go. Ding.
Hey, it's me again, the guy that forgets his other question. So here's my other question. What do you guys like to do to recover after a con? Now, I know you did the post-con depression episode. That was actually super helpful because even I sometimes get a little sad. I also get kind of exhausted after staffing a convention, and I would take like a week off after if I can, get my tunes ready, have some stuff ready to do, because even if I'm not depressed, man, after a week at con, I am burnt. So yeah, if you guys have any secrets, I'd love to know what magic you use.
Don't play again. For me, I'm usually back at work the next day, which is, one side is tiring, so I just make sure I drink a lot of coffee. But on the other side, it gets me focused on something else and being back at work and doing work, so I'm not thinking about, the convention and all the fun I had. If you're able to, taking the day off, once you get, a day off after you get back and to decompress and maybe unpack and things like that. That's also a good thing if you're able to. I like to kind of, if I don't feel like it's a waste of vacation day, but I'd rather just go to work and plow through the day than use that vacation day up. So I think it's up to you and what works best. For me, it's going back to work and getting back into a daily habit, and that way I'm not like at home sitting, oh, I wish I was at the con, but that's kind of my way of dealing with post-con depression. Okay, so we have YouTube comments. So in response to our Wizard Rule episode from BLSoldier00, after reading up on other people's experiences with Wizard Rule cons, it's safe to say that they are scams. From ESW01407, wow, I think this is one of the worst grades I've seen anyone on ACTV give a con. Yikes. Yes. From Sparkle-01, with these long lines paint to me A-less celebrities, the attendees I observed are families and those over 40 without children. the mainstream clientele, less likely to see non-local teens who can't afford this. From LTO, most of the Midwest cosplay photographers have boycotted the Chicago one because of their terrible photo policy. No cameras with detachable lenses. Oh, that's stupid. Oops, don't zoom in. Why are you zooming in? Next slide. In response to Patrick's PortCon main report, Kayla Kuhn X, damn it, I live 2 hours north and missed it. Go next year. And then I commented, now I'm sad I didn't go this year. I'm really sad I didn't go this year. I just decided to take a break, even though I love this con. I actually wanted to check out a local comic book convention, which was pretty cool. And then I had some stuff going on this weekend that I had to stay home for. But hopefully make it up next year, to go back to PortCon, because it is really one of my favorites. So in response to Doug's boredom prevention episode, BL Soldier 00, I found it hard to get bored at conventions. Must be because I'm looking for cosplayers or people in alternative fashion to photograph if there are no events going on that I am interested in going to. Yeah, it's awesome. So I think that's something I like to do too, is people watch is totally one of my favorite things to do at a convention, and take pictures of costumes that I think are really cool. And then Patrick writes Team Valor. I think you wrote Mystic wrong. Team Mystic. Thank you very much. Okay, on Twitter, in response to previous feedback episodes with a San Diego Comic-Con correction, at Art by Melissa M. added, San Diego Comic-Con returned, APE to slave labor graphics in 2014, so to my knowledge, it's no longer an San Diego Comic-Con convention. So Patrick, I think it was Patrick who did this, said that San Diego Comic-Con organized WonderCon and Alternative Press Expo, which is APE, and Melissa is right. APE is no longer a SDCC administrative rent, and so even his correction needed a correction. So thank you, Melissa, for letting us know. So, in response to Doug's episode on what to do at boring conventions, at Roar Amanda Roar, that's such a huge Twitter handle, said, boring cons are a thing? Yeah. I've been to some boring cons where the, you can only go around the dealer's room so many times, you can only go up and down the RS alley so many times, you can only, nothing on the schedule is interesting, which is kind of a personal thing more than anything else, but if there's only, like, one or two panel rooms, then, and if neither of them pique your interest, then you have nothing to do. So that is a thing. If the level of programming is low, and if deals room and artist alley are like the only other things really going on, if like there's a video games room or a board games room, and either they have nothing interesting or they're always packed, so it's hard to get in and play something. That can create a boring con experience. I have definitely had them, which are unfortunate. But things I like to do when there's a boring con experience are to, like, go out, actually, if there's an area you can go out to. So, one year my friend and I were at a con that was, it was boring because, and it was also very crowded. So we left and went to a brewery that was nearby and went to check out some of the beers there, which was pretty cool. So that's what I like to do sometimes when the con is really boring. And then we went back and it was less crowded, so we were able to kind of enjoy it more. And there was the stuff that we wanted to do was later in the day. So unfortunately, boring cons are a thing. I think they're in the vast minority, but they are unfortunately a thing. Excuse me. On Twitter, Movie Phone Guy tweeted us saying, here's to you. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you soon and be able to have nice drinks together. Now let's take a look at anime conventions that are coming up through September 2016 as found on animecons.com. Coming up on AnimeCons TV, Doug will be taking his umpteenth trip down to Otakon. If he survives the heat, hopefully he'll tell us how it went. Speaking of Otakon, we're going to push our next month's feedback out an extra week so we can get our Otakon report published sooner. The Otakon report is scheduled for Monday, August 22nd, and the next feedback episode is Monday, August 29th. In preparation for our new Apple TV app, we finally published all the episodes in our extra feed in high def. Subscribe at animecons.tv/extras/subscribe.shtml. Oh, and soon we'll have an AnimeCons TV app on AnimeCons TV soon, so watch out for that. So we want to hear from you. We heard a lot from you this month, and we definitely want to keep it going for next month. So leave us a voicemail at 762-ADEQUATE. That's 762-233-7828. You can also text us at that number. And no one's done that yet, so text us. Maybe it's Bergen. So text us, and if we don't read it, that means it's broken. So let us know. And you can also email us at PorkCon. See, I didn't go to PorkCon, and now it's on my mind. You can also email us at podcast@animecons.tv. And get all your friends to subscribe to us. And if you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, iTunes.animecons.tv, or search for AnimeCons TV on YouTube, or watch on our site, animecons.tv, and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. And we will see you next week. Bye, guys.